It's good to see everyone again this evening. I would like to make a quick apology with regard to my lesson this morning. If I'd known it was going to be that long, I would have, preached it in two installments. I wasn't aware that it was going to take that much time to get through it. And once you get up here and start going, it's just hard to stop. So I didn't realize until after I'd sat down how I had imposed. Again, I'm not apologizing because people expect me to, because you have always been good to endure those lengthy lessons when they come from time to time. But I did want to acknowledge the fact that I did impose upon your time a bit this morning. And this evening, the lesson will be much shorter. We're going to be discussing the Day of Judgment and a certain slant on the Day of Judgment for just a few moments this evening. But I would like to begin by relating an event that happened to me just this past week. I must admit to the fact that I go to McDonald's quite often. I want to explain why, though. I recognize that the food is perhaps not the most healthy, but they have low-fat ice cream, and I love ice cream cones. And at the one that I go to, it's 53 cents for a cone, so it's hard to beat. And so occasionally I will go and indulge a bit and get an ice cream cone. And when I go, there is a young lady who is almost always there. She works there and I think probably works a good number of hours each week. And often she's manning the cash register. And she never fails to say, "Have a blessed day," when I leave. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate individuals who are kind and take the time to express, "Have a good day," or "Have a blessed day," or something similar to that. Well, last time I went, I saw her, and she was at the register and a little bit busy. And so before she could say it to me, I said it to her. I said, I want to beat you to it and wish you a blessed day. And she got a big grin on her face. And she said, you knew I was going to tell you that. And we talked a little bit. And so we both went away from the encounter with smiles on our face. And again, that's a pleasant thing. For individuals to do that. We hear and say those kinds of things, "Have a blessed day," "Have a good day," just about every day. Our mothers, when we're children, tell us when we leave for school to have a good day at school. And so that's the anticipation and the offering of blessings upon others, which is right and which is proper. I would like for you to consider, however, that there is going to be one day that will be the last day, and how important it is for us on that last day to have a blessed day or to have a good day. Because of all the days that exist and that will exist, that we could hope to have a good day, there can't be one that is more important than that last day. And it's interesting that in the scriptures, the phrase "last day" is used on a number of occasions. I'll give you an example. In John chapter 6, as we acknowledge that the world will not endure forever, Jesus, in fact, in Matthew 24 said heaven and earth will pass away. We are reminded of this particular passage of scripture beginning in verse 39. Actually, the context, you'll remember, begins in verse 35, where Jesus expressed the fact that he is the bread of life. And the statement that one who comes to him will never hunger, one who believes in him would never thirst. And he indicated that the way in which he dealt with the things that the Father had given to him was with faithfulness. And as such, in verse 39, he said, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up the last day." Raise it up at the last day. And then in verse 40, "This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Again, that phrase is used quite often in Scripture. And so we want to establish, first of all, I think it's intimated in this particular passage of Scripture in verse 40, that last day will be a day of resurrection. You remember the promise that was given by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As a consequence of our belief and confidence in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the hope that when he comes again, we too will be raised from the dead. Both in 1 Corinthians 15 as well as his letter to the Thessalonians, he offered that hope to them. There were individuals who were worried about what would happen to those who were theirs, having reference to loved ones or friends who had already died before Christ's coming. And his promise was is that those who remain alive will not precede those who have gone to sleep. And I really like that phrase that the Apostle Paul uses there. They have gone to sleep. It's not a denial of the fact that they have passed from this life. They are dead. The spirit has left the body. But it is indicative of the fact that that is not their final state, that there will be a resurrection from the dead. And the promise is that that resurrection from the dead will happen in that last day. And so we want to emphasize that first of all, that the last day will be a day of resurrection, a time in which Jesus will raise the dead. Now, in those epistles, both in Corinth as well as in Thessalonica, where the Apostle Paul wrote to Christians, his primary concern was with what will happen to those who die in Christ. And the indication was that they will be raised in hope. But I want you to understand that when we talk about the resurrection is an aspect of judgment that is universal. God will raise all men in that last day. In John chapter 5, just the previous chapter to the one that we read, John 5 and beginning in verse 28 of the text, reading verses 28 and 29, Jesus said, "Do not marvel, the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." All who are in the graves will come forth. Now you'll notice in verse 29, the statement made that those who have done good will come forth to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And so when we talk about the last day being a day of resurrection, while we commonly make that statement within the context of the hope that we enjoy as Christians, we do need to understand that not everyone can look forward to that day and to that resurrection as a positive thing with the hope that we experience and feel as we contemplate it as Christians. Because the resurrection, though it is universal, will not lead to the final end or the final either end state, end condition, or the final abode or location of every soul. Those who are raised to life, their resurrection gives them the hope of heaven. Those who are raised to condemnation, they are given that eternal punishment, the eternal sentencing of hell and the place of fire and brimstone. And so there are those distinctions that we make there. So having said that, if we want to talk about having a good day or having a blessed day concerning the last day, the obvious thing is that we need to ensure that we have done the will of our Lord, that we are fulfilling His will for us so that when that day comes, it can indeed be a blessed day. Because when that day of resurrection comes, it is a resurrection to judgment. There is another passage, of course, in John chapter 6. Our Lord speaks of this judgment and this resurrection to life or condemnation. But the same thing is stated by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. The law of sowing and reaping that the Apostle Paul relates there in that text, he says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh," having reference again to disobedience to God, the lust of the flesh, self-willed action, "that individual will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." The winnowing fan will be in place. It will be a separation that will occur on that day, that final day of judgment. And so it will be a blessed day. It will be a good day for those who are found righteous before God. But in that it is a day of judgment, the sentence of punishment for eternity will be meted out to the disobedient. A third point that we'll make with regard to this day and the way in which it is termed in Scripture, that last day is referred to as a day of glory. There's a text in Colossians chapter 3, actually a number of places where this is established and pointed out, but Colossians 3:4 is one example of it. We are told that when Christ, who is our life, appears, This has reference to the second advent. It has reference to that last day. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Will appear with him in glory. Now, the exalted state of man is something that will mirror the exalted state of our Lord. You remember the statement that the messengers of God gave to his disciples after his ascension. When the promise first was made following his ascension into heaven, why are you looking up into heaven? He will come again in the same manner as he has gone. The promise is given that that immortal body that was taken on by the Lord will be given to us as well in that day. Now, we do not know how it is that we shall be, but when he comes again, we know that we shall be like him, immortally displayed. There is that glorious aspect of the resurrection where this corruptible must put on incorruption, where this mortal must put on immortality. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we all shall be changed. And so it will indeed be a day of glory. Now, I know that some suffer more than others. There are individuals of our congregation who at this point in time are not actually able to be here because to one extent or another, their bodies, these temporal and temporary tents that we put on is not acting in such a way or is not in a current condition to where it is possible for them to be with us. We understand it is the lot of all men eventually to put off this temporary tabernacle and to replace it with another. But this corruption, and we all feel it from time to time. I've told people that as I've grown a bit older, that where I feel it is in my back, and that's because of my athletic endeavors when I was young, and then now in my joints, because I'm beginning to get just a little bit of arthritis. It's not bad, but it is stiff, and it aches in the morning. And I see this, and I look at my hands, and I say, that's not the hands of the young person I am. But in reality, they are the hands of the somewhat aging person that I have become, and it's hard for me to reconcile that. But I do understand that as time progresses, these things will continue. That's the direction of all men. That's not the way in which it will be in eternity. And that is the wonderful promise that is ours as children of God. So I want you to think about it in that way. Not only that it is an ultimate end, not only that it is inexorable, but it is something for us to rejoice in, not only in our hope, but in the transformation that will occur that can only be described in this way, that it will be a day of glory for the redeemed. Having said that, of course, there is the other side of it, and we want to finish our time together with this final point, and that is that the last day, as we talk about it so often as Christians, is a day of glory, a day of reward, an ultimate end where we will then enjoy and reap the benefits of our relationship with God. It is also a day that is a day of wrath. And so as we contemplate that phrase, have a good day, we need to understand that there will be many on the day of judgment in that last day, and it will not be a good day for them. Every knee shall bow and admit to or confess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For some, it will be everlastingly too late. They will be caught unawares on that great and final day. In the text of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. This is a common description that is given of that final day of judgment. And it is interspersed with statements made concerning the rest that we will be rewarded with if we are faithful. But I want you to notice, especially beginning in verse 8, what is said concerning the unrighteous. He says, in flaming fire, God will take vengeance on those, or the Lord in coming will take vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day. The same exact day, the same exact occasion. But there is a distinction that is made. It's very clearly delineated in this particular text. In fact, as he goes on in verse 10, when he comes in this day, as he visits vengeance and wrath upon the disobedient and rebellious, he says in the latter part of verse 10 that when he comes, he will become to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. And so it will be rest and glorification for those who are righteous in the sight of God. For those who are disobedient to God, it will be a day of wrath. So I wanted you to keep those things in mind and consider how important it is for us to escape wrath in that day. How important it is as we go from day to day in our lives, sometimes having days that are better than others. Having a good day or having a bad day. And that may have reference to our emotional welfare. It may have reference to our physical feelings and illnesses or lack thereof. It may have reference to other things. But while our days may vacillate as to whether we can say it's a superlative day or a day or a bad day, the fact is that day it's important we be prepared. That day is the one day that counts, that final day of judgment. Now, having said that, I do want to acknowledge before we bring this lesson to a close that they were to prepare 2,000 years ago for that day and it hadn't happened yet. So it very well may be that as we go through our lives, that some of us, perhaps even all of us, will not remain alive when Christ finally ends his long suffering toward mankind and comes in that day of judgment. We may be long gone by then. But we will be in the grave. We will be awaiting the resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. And so that day will be visited upon us regardless. Which is why it is so important to acknowledge and understand what it means to be prepared. As we do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes, it is important that we always be prepared for that eventuality. We need to be as the wise virgins were, that as the Lord tarried and as their lamps burned low on fuel, they were able to trim their lamps because they had brought extra fuel. They were prepared. We need to be prepared in the exact same way because we do not know when the Lord will come. You don't prepare by selling your possessions and sitting down and looking up at the sky. You prepare by living a life of righteousness before Him always, so that no matter the hour, no matter the day, when He comes, He will find you to be faithful. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, these individuals had endured amidst great persecution to the extent to where the promise was given by the Apostle Paul that if they persisted in that, they would receive their reward, that they would receive that final justification from God, and there would be that final visiting of vengeance and wrath upon the ungodly. The accounts will be settled in that day. The question is, will you be righteous and as such receive the just reward, or will you be wicked and as such receive a just condemnation? And it only matters what you do in your life. We will be judged according to the things that we have done in the body, whether good or bad. And the question is given to each and every one of us, are you ready? Can you say that when that day comes, that it will be indeed a good day? Because we certainly hope that you will have a good day on the last day. Lord Jesus Christ, in His mercy and goodness, has made available for us the hope of a good day. We couldn't have earned it. We couldn't have managed it on our own. Because God sent His Son to this earth, and because Jesus died in our stead, we have the hope of having a good day in that final day of judgment. If you will believe in Him, repent of your sins, confess Him as Lord, be baptized to have your sins washed away. As a child of God, having been reconciled to Him, you can live a life of preparation for that eventuality, where it can be said of you in that day, it was a good day. And perhaps hear the words of our Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter ye into my rest." We hope and pray that you have that faith and that relationship with God that would allow it to be that good day. If there is anything that we can do to help and assist you in getting your life right with God to ensure that that's the case, we offer ourselves to you. Would you come while together we stand and while we sing?